You're listening to Your World Today. We continue with our segment focusing on Muslim communities. Maulana Yusuf Bema joins us on the line from Port Elizabeth. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, how are you this afternoon?
Alhamdulillah, very well, very well.
Did you deliver the Jummah talk today?
Alhamdulillah, yes, we did at the Green Acres Masjid, yes. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. What was your topic, Maulana?
Today we spoke on financial difficulties and solutions from the Quran and Hadith.
SubhanAllah, really apt. May Allah SubhanAllah give one all the ability to practice. We move on to Islam in China, Maulana. You may commence with the topic, something that is really, really fascinating. We look forward to the information that will be shared, inshallah.
JazakAllah khairan to you, Muftisab. Yes, dear listeners of Radio Islam International, alhamdulillah, we have been discussing Islam in Asia. We have discussed Islam in Uzbekistan, in Central Asia. We spoke about Islam in India, Bangladesh and Pakistan, the Indian subcontinent. We spoke about Islam in Turkey, and we spoke about Islam on the Black Sea coast, which is northern Turkey and further north. And we also discussed Islam in Georgia. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we will be moving even further east to the Far East, and we will be discussing Islam in China. Now, China, to most of us, it's just a country where we know many goods are produced, or the world goods are produced. The people have slanted eyes, or, you know, we know the features of the Chinese. They have a very different language. And we don't ever associate Islam and China together. So we'd be amazed to actually find out that Islam has been in China from within the first century after Hijri, and there are a number of Muslims in China. When I say a number, inshallah, we will really delve into the number and the numbers and the ethnic groups of Muslims in China when we do discuss Islam in China today. For today's segment, however, inshallah, we want to begin with the history of Islam in China. And this is very detailed as well. We will break it up into a few segments. We will discuss the different travelers who had been to China as well. Ibn Battuta rahmatullahi alayhi gives a detailed description of his journey to China. We will speak about the life of one of the very famous Muslim generals and seafarers, maritime seafarers by the name of Zhang He, who was a Muslim Chinese general. And we will be speaking about a number of other incidents in the history of Islam in China. So to go right to the beginning, Before Islam had even arrived in China, there were contacts between the Chinese and the Middle East. So the contacts between these two areas definitely predate the advent of Islam by many centuries, in actual fact. As early as the Han Dynasty in 220 BCE, Chinese imperial envoys had reached the Arab world. And according to the chronicles of the time, there are accounts of diplomatic and trade missions between the two areas. The Indian Ocean trade routes, which were in use between the 4th and 6th centuries, were dominated by the Arabs and by the Persians. And all of them who had made landfall, they had arrived at the ports of China as well. So these two groupings of people had definitely met each other before Islam. And we do know this is the very famous Silk Route. It was actually named the Silk Route because Chinese silk was the major trade item which was brought from China to the Mediterranean countries. So there were Arabs, there were Persians, there were Chinese. All of them were among the main traders moving up and down this route east to west. And it was not just silk, but there were other goods, there were other technologies, there were religions, there were philosophies which had traveled along this route right till the year 1543, by which time it had disintegrated, the time at the fall of Constantinople. So these Arab and or Persian traders, maritime traders, they, according to Chinese chronicles and histories, they have been referred to by the word dashi. And dashi or tashi is, Allahu alam, it is the Chinese rendering of the word tazi, which is the Persian name for Arabs. So according to Chinese history, there were dashi or tashi people who had arrived in China way back in the 7th century. So There is clear documentary evidence of visiting groups of traders from the Middle East as early as the 6th century, and some scholars have dated Islam, or the origin of Islam in China, to the 6th or 7th centuries. So there was definitely early contact between the Arabs and the Chinese, but for the Muslims, there are a few different narratives. The one view is that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during his khilafah in the year 651 CE, he sent an envoy which was apparently headed by Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the Tang dynasty. The ruling dynasty at the time was the Tang dynasty, and he had been sent to their capital, which was Shang'an, which is modern day Xi'an. Xi'an is spelled X-I-apostrophe-A-N. The X is pronounced as Sh in Chinese. So Xi'an is where apparently Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the Ashara Mubashara, was sent. And there he met the emperor, invited him to Islam. The emperor did not accept Islam, but he did allow them to proselytize and to give da'wah and to build a masjid. The actual details of this envoy have, however, been disputed. There is, however, a masjid in Xi'an province today, which is said to be the oldest masjid in China. It is said to be 1,300 years old, and it has been described as a masjid which is unlike many masajid in the Middle East, because it is completely Chinese in its construction and its architectural style, except for a few Arabic inscriptions and decorations. So one version, one narrative is that Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala had been to the emperor in Shang'an, in Xi'an, and he had invited him to Islam in the year 651. Others state that Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu had actually been to Guangzhou. Now Guangzhou, which would be very well known to many traders and importers and exporters in South Africa, that's the industrial city to which everybody flocks today. And it was Romanized, the name Guangzhou was Romanized to Canton. So that's where the word Canton comes from. It is Guangzhou itself. And it said that Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had gone there to meet the emperor, and the first masjid was built there in the 7th century, which is apparently, which is there today, and is known as the Beacon Tower Masjid. So although historians haven't found any clear evidence of Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself having visited China, the arrival of the Muslim diplomats and merchants to China during the Tang era, which is the 7th and 8th centuries, that is widely accepted, Muslim and non-Muslim historians. There is a historian, Thomas Arnold, and he has written in his book, The Preachings of Islam, A History of the Propagation of the Muslim Faith, and he speaks about Guangzhou, and he says, around the mosque built by their founder, the little colony of Arab traders grew and flourished, living in perfectly friendly relations with their Chinese neighbors, their commercial interests being identical. And he says, the Muslim community thus settled in Canton speedily multiplied, partly through new arrivals, partly by marriage with the Chinese, and by conversion from among them. So Islam was definitely in China within the 7th and 8th centuries. And just by the way, the grave that is claimed to be that of Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Guangzhou, which many South African traders and businessmen visit, that actual grave has been rejected by scholars of hadith and historians, and it is most probable that Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu had passed away in Madinatul Munawwara and not in China. So it could be symbolic due to his visit there, or his possible visit there, Allahu A'lam. So Islam did arrive during the first century of Islam, and it's just the exact people who had arrived there, as well as the area, is somewhat disputed. Chinese records, and they are quite meticulous, they have documented the arrival of a Dashi embassy. Dashi, we said, was the word for the Chinese word which refers to Arabs. And they have documented the arrival of such an ambassador in the year 713. And so with Islam in those first few centuries, 7th, 8th and 9th centuries, the Muslims were on a smaller scale living in China. Most of them had come as traders and had settled there. They had married locals and they began residing in China. So in those three centuries, it was on a smaller scale, and in the 10th century, now Islam is on the rise in China, and there are a number of many more Muslims who are now going to settle in China. The dynasty at the time was the Tang dynasty. They ruled from the year 618 CE to 907 CE, and this to the Chinese was regarded as the golden age of medieval China. And it was the period during which China was without doubt the greatest empire in Asia. It was known for its efficiency of civil service, of its sophistication in urban culture, in terms of its arts and poetry. They were well renowned throughout the world. The greatness of the Tang is often attributed to their openness to foreign cultures. And for Muslims, this was obviously very welcoming. Particularly for the Muslims and this minority who are now developing, and now they are being welcomed by the ruling dynasty, this did wonders for them and allowed many more to settle in China. The imperial family of the Tang dynasty, they were of mixed Chinese and Central Asian origin, and it was because of that link that made them a lot more open to the Central Asian people who were Muslims and a few other people as well, and the Arabs as well, and that had a great influence, a profound influence on Tang culture. So, looking at their capital, which was Shang'an or Xi'an, this was a magnet for not just the Muslims, but for Buddhists and other officials as well. It was a magnet for traders and spiritual leaders from Central Asia, all of them converging on this great capital of the Chinese Empire, which is the greatest in Asia at the time. And they settled there, and they also settled in the coastal city of Guangzhou, in the province of Fujian as well. So there was a steady stream of Muslim traders. They were Arab, they were Persian. They had arrived and settled in Guangzhou. They had married the local Han Chinese woman, and they formed the basis of the Chinese Muslim community, and their descendants today are now classified as part of the Hui ethnic group, which we will inshallah ta'ala discuss in detail in the forthcoming programs, inshallah. And it's all, looking back at the history of Guangzhou, it's only in the last century did historians and archaeologists uncover a profusion of gravestones which have inscriptions of Arabic and Persian as well. And this important collection of inscriptions provides evidence of a thriving Muslim community that was already well established in the early part of the 8th century. So definitely in the 7th and 8th centuries, there is clear evidence of a thriving Muslim community during that time. Obviously, it wasn't on a very large scale, but there was a small group of Muslims who were living in China at the time. And this group became a very highly developed group at the end of the Southern Song Dynasty in the 13th century, which was the last Chinese dynasty before the Mongol invasion. In the year 751, a battle ensued, a battle which we have discussed before when we discussed the history of Uzbekistan. And this was the Battle of Talas, and this occurred in the year 751, and it was fought between the Abbasids and the Tang dynasty. There was a small Muslim force in the year 751. They defeat these Tang soldiers, and this victory eventually leads to the Muslim control over the entire Central Asia. So the details of the battle is that the Tang and Abbasid forces, they were obviously vying for control of the Sir Darya region. The Sir Darya region we discussed when we discussed Uzbekistan, it is in modern-day Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. This region, the Abbasids coming from the west and the Chinese in the east, each one looking to spread their deen and their religion, and now a battle ensues. The battle ends in stalemate after a number of days, but then one of the main contingents of the Chinese army defects And this leads to the Abbasids to overpower the Chinese, and they now overpower the Tang army, and this defeat marks the end of the westward territorial expansion for the Tang, and it results in Muslim control of Transoxania, which is the Ma-Wara'un-Nahr region, for the next 400 years. And during this time, incidentally, papermaking was introduced to the Muslim world around this time as well. As for the two dynasties, the Abbasids and the Tang, their ties were mended in the year 756 when the Abbasids sent a contingent to their ruler to assist their emperor, whose name was Su Tsung, in his struggle with a local rebellion. So there was a local rebellion, he wasn't able to crush it himself, the Abbasids sent assistance to him, and he is now able to stay in control. And 50 years later, they even conclude an alliance between them, where they are now going to assist each other against the Tibetan attacks in Central Asia. That dynasty comes to an end, and the Song dynasty now takes over in China. And during this period, the Muslims who had immigrated to China eventually began to have a very great economic impact and influence on the country. They are now a thriving community, they are having a greater economic impact on the country, and by the beginning of the Song era, Muslims had grown to be influential in the import and export industry. So China has been known for importing and exporting for a number of centuries, nothing new to them. And during that period, it is said that the Director General of Shipping was constantly a Muslim during this period. So during the Song Dynasty, Muslims are now on the increase and are becoming a lot more influential. During this period, the very famous Nuiji Masjid, which is located in Beijing, was built. It was built in the year 1996 CE, and it is said that a local Muslim community who were around that area in Beijing, they had constructed the masjid using traditional Chinese architecture, and there are some Arabic inscriptions around the masjid as well. It was destroyed by the armies of Genghis Khan in the year 1215, but the masjid was rebuilt in the year 1443 during the Ming Dynasty. So that was during the era of the Tang Dynasty, the Song Dynasty, and now we move over to the Yuan Dynasty. The Yuan Dynasty, they were founded by the Mongols. The Mongols had overrun the Chinese, and now they are the ruling dynasty in China. They ruled from the year 1271 to 1368, and during this time, a significant number of Muslims settled in China. The Mongols had forcibly relocated Muslim immigrants by the hundreds of thousands from Western and Central Asia with the intent of using their services to administer the growing empire. So now the Mongols are ruling the entire Central Asia and China, and they bring hundreds of thousands of Muslims from Central Asia into China to use their services. And these included craftsmen, artists, architects, engineers, medical doctors, astronomers, as well as administrators and officials who were posted to government positions throughout China. And the very noted Muslim traveler, the Moroccan Ibn Battuta, rahmatullah alayh, he gives us great insight into life into China during those years. And if you just rewind to our discussion of Islam in China, we discussed Ibn Battuta rahmatullah alayh, Islam in India, and we had discussed how he had been sent, or he was about to be sent as an envoy from India to China with all of these ships laden with gifts and with very valuable presents for the Chinese. But even before he sets off, there is a storm on the west coast of India, and that is where all of those valuable gifts all perish in the sea. In any case, he does make it to China in the year 1345. And we will discuss this in great detail, or in much greater detail. We will enumerate his experiences in China in the next segment. In the next segment, so we will leave that inshallah ta'ala for next week. And until then, we say Jazakallahu khairan for listening, and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.